Hi, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You are listening to It's All About Food. Can you tell I'm smiling? I'm recording this on Earth Day, my birthday. And so many of you out there know that my birthday is on Earth Day. Why? Because I tell you every year with lots of notice. And I'm here with my co-host, Gary DiMattei. Hey, Gary.
Karen, happy birthday to you. Hooray!
Hooray. Woo-hoo! Now, what some of you may not know is that Gary and I are not in the same place.
No, we're not.
No, I'm in Wisconsin and Gary's in California.
Right. And spiritually, though, we are in the same place. Emotionally, we are in the same place.
Yes, just not physically.
The essence of you is everywhere.
Some people say, careful what you wish for, but I was wishing that song that we sang a few weeks ago, how can I miss you if you won't go away?
Right.
And now we're away and we're missing each other.
Yeah, we are. And that's okay. That's perfectly okay because you're living in Wisconsin because you're a working actor and you're, in addition to being a tremendous activist, vegan activist, you are also a working actor. And acting is a form of activism.
Definitely. And that's why ACT is in the word activism.
Right. And so you're doing a job. And I'm in California about to go into auditions for a directing gig, which will happen later this summer. So when you go back to New York, I will be in California for 2 months. And so we'll be apart a long time. I'm grateful for Zoom and I'm grateful for technology that it allows me to communicate with you and actually see your face.
Well, gratitude is definitely a theme here. And I am full of gratitude today and for the last few weeks. And I know this will continue for lots of reasons. I know we live in a crazy, insane, violent world. And yes, there are many people suffering, and I feel that every day. But at the same time, I am so fortunate, not only to be free, to be a free individual, but I've made choices and I am doing what I love to do. And that's my heart is full, and I am just grateful for that.
I wrote a fever dream in honor of your birthday, and I thought I would read it to you on the air today.
Is it about food?
There is some food involved in it, and okay, we can talk then about it.
Okay, good. Go ahead. Go.
Okay. Read. So the title is Fever Dreaming of You. Someone I did not know shooed me away today. They shooed me away by fanning the air like I was a moth or a bee or a bat. I was a bug to them. The air in my direct vicinity was actually fanned several times, as if I was emitting a noxious gas like a skunk. People also shoo skunks away very carefully. And then I heard the person doing the shooing say, stay away. And then they fanned their hand in my face several times, ran to the front of the checkout line like it was a safe place, and placed their items on the conveyor belt. I was next in line, waiting just long enough to let the novel experience land. Then I thought of you, and I said to myself, let it pass. You have somebody wonderful who loves you. And then my mind jumped and I thought, this must be my fault. I must not have been socially distant. Ironically, we were the only two people in the grocery store wearing masks and the swatter seemed really uptight. Or it could have been the AirPods that annoyed them. Sometimes people get really bugged when one is wearing AirPods in the grocery store. I had someone in New York push me with their shopping basket once and then yell at me for being plugged in. Hey, I'm shopping here. AirPods could have annoyed the swatter too. Or I could have been too happy. They probably knew I had somebody wonderful who loved me. They probably knew I had you. I was singing. I'm one of those people who sings to themselves while shopping or walking or driving. The singing was at a low level as not to pierce the Whole Foods corporate veil, which was a hot mess of activity. Lots of lines going every which way, major chaos up and down all of the aisles. And no one looked like they were having a good time. They looked like they were fleeing totalitarianism or themselves. I was thinking of you, hence the smile. To be fair to the swatter, I was confused. I suffer cognitive dissonance when we're apart, especially in grocery stores, one of our favorite places to be. My cognition was way off, and the low dose aspirin I had taken that morning didn't help. I should have taken a high dose. It wasn't clear to me where one line of shoppers ended and the new employee training line began. Could also be that I need new glasses. I know you keep telling me to get them. Or maybe the glasses were fogging from wearing the mask. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't in the moment. I was distracted. I was still trying to get over the dream I had on Easter Sunday night. Someone I had not seen in many years came to me in my dream and said they were happy. And then they aged 100 years right in front of me. Their nose started growing like an elephant's trunk. Then they smiled and all of their teeth shot out of their mouth like popcorn out of an air popper. I woke up in a sweat when I realized the elephant in my dream was me, and I felt guilty. I felt guilty for being happy and for being well-fed and conspicuously consumed and for being loved by you. Granted, I was out of my element. I usually shop at the mom and pop a few blocks from the subway stop near our apartment in Queens, where everyone sings to themselves with or without the AirPods. I must have looked like I was from someplace else. No, I definitely looked like I was from someplace else, because I am from someplace else. And the raincoat I was wearing clashed with the song I was singing, Fire and Rain. The people shopping at this particular Whole Foods weren't wearing raincoats because it was raining, but it was a California rain, so it was wet. And this Whole Foods, everyone was wearing yoga pants, except the swatter. The person doing the swatting was wearing riding pants and ankle boots, like someone who had mad skills on the back of a horse, but because of the rain, their horse had shrunk. So they thought they'd go to the store and do some swatting and shoeing. An equestrian with an imaginary riding crop for swatting. Adding to my confusion, I saw what I thought was an opening in one of the checkout lines. I thought the giant clerk wearing the tiny apron positioned behind the cash register in the express lane was waiting for a customer. They were just standing there staring at the group of new hires being trained in the differences between a wheel of brie and a wheel of camembert. I was holding several wheels of rice cakes and a round container of vitamin C powder. It's difficult to find just straight up ascorbic acid. Most of the vitamin C at this particular Whole Foods was in capsule form. Many capsules are made of gelatin, which is made by grinding the hooves of cows. Difficult to find a cow who is willing to give up their hooves. Consequently, one must kill the cow first and then take their hooves and then grind them up, and that makes gelatin. Some gelatin is then made into capsules for pills, and some is made into aspic for decorating poached salmon at fancy hotel buffets. Again, I thought of you because you opened my eyes to the insanity of Jell-O. I like to dissolve a quarter teaspoon of vitamin C in a 12-ounce glass of water and then sing to it. I passed one checkout line that was very long and saw what I thought was an opening at the register near the cheese demonstration, where I learned the difference between a wheel of brie and a wheel of camembert is about $3. I asked the checker, "You open?" They said, "No, I'm stoned." So I pivoted back to the line the horseless rider was standing at the back of. And then I turned to them and asked if they were in line. And I may have turned a few more times because the next song was Box of Rain by the Grateful Dead. And again, I thought of you turning me on to the Dead after all of these years. And I really like this song. And I really like to turn during this song. And that's when I was swooshed by the swatter. The swatter was right out of a Christopher Durang play where someone who is overly euphoric in a grocery store is beaten senseless by someone who is not. I was happy. I had you to love me. Happy birthday. I love you too. And break a leg on your opening weekend in Wisconsin. I wish I could be there, but I'm in California, thinking of you while being shooed.
Wow.
That's for
Gary,
you.
Gary, you're such a good writer.
I'm a good writer. Yay.
Yeah. I don't know how many of you hear stories like that on other food podcasts, but right here on It's All About Food, we have our own Hemingway, only it's Gary Hemingway.
No, but there is a lot that we can talk about in that story. Well, let's start at the beginning. People swat bugs, you know, and the metaphor there is they were annoyed with me. So they were shooing me away like I was a gnat or something. And I thought immediately, this is what people do all of the time when there's something flying around. They try, or when something is bugging them literally and figuratively, they try and get away from it, or they try and move it away. And another thing that I've learned from you, and I know you've interviewed people on this program, is that, you know, we need these bugs. We need these insects. We don't need this crazy guy that's plugged in the grocery store trying to find a place in line when it's overly crowded. You know, I thought of how a lot of times when a bug lands on a counter, we try to kill it. And yes, through your tutoring and the people that you've interviewed on this program, we learned that bugs are necessary and we need them. And
this planet cannot live without bugs. It can live without humans, that's for sure. But bugs do so many things. Some of them pollinate plants that grow our food. Some of them recycle living mass that dies.
Yeah.
And human bodies would just pile up if it wasn't for all the life that do their job.
I'm sorry about that bell. We should probably tell our listeners that both of us are sitting in cars doing this program.
Yeah, we're both in cars. I want to talk about grocery stores too, because I'm in Wisconsin and I want to go into a bit of detail about how I'm eating and what I'm eating. But I went to the closest grocery store to the hotel I was originally staying at, and it's a Pick and Save, which is part of the Kroger chain.
Right.
The good thing about the Kroger chain is they do have a considerable amount of organic food.
Well, that's good.
But everyone is so nice.
Really?
There's nobody swatting anybody. Everyone is nice and helpful, and they tell you to have a nice day. And it's just a gentle flow, a gentle pace. It's really quite sweet here.
Wow, that's great. Because, I mean, it was very hostile here in California at this one grocery store. Everybody was, you know, I kept thinking, you're not fleeing a dictator who's, you know, bombing you. You're just at a grocery store and there's all of this, there's all of this wonderful food. You're surrounded by all of this, what's the word I'm looking for? Just plenty. There's this bushel of plenty. There's a cornucopia of plenty. I mean, I was just amazed at how people were just so stressed out.
Yeah, I think a lot has to do with the density of people. I don't think we do well when there are crowds or when there are too many people living in a space. So this is a small town. The pace is slow. And of course, I haven't seen everything here. And I'm sure there are times when people lose their patience or their calm and get angry. But for the most part, things have been calm and easygoing because it's not crowded. And I don't think life is meant to be lived in density. We know by cramming animals in factory farms, it breeds a lot of disease. The coronavirus has spread just intensely because there are so many of us. We're not meant to be crowded. I want to talk about this grocery store in Wisconsin, in the Midwest here, where everyone talks like they're from the Midwest because, well, they are, you know, real good.
Yeah.
And I decided before I came here what I was going to do. I was committing to super clean, nutritarian eating. Now,
oh yeah, let's hear about that. That's exciting.
I eat a pretty clean diet to begin with. Gary and I don't consume a lot of oil, salt, or sugar, but we do eat out in restaurants where there is oil, salt, and sugar, and occasionally we make treats. We eat really well, but I thought I'm really going to do this super clean nutritarian. What does that mean? Big salads, beans, very little grain. Some grain is okay, but not a lot. Lots of berries, some other fruits, and some mushrooms, maybe some seeds in your dressings, whatever. Very simple. So what I would do, since I started here in the hotel with not a full kitchen, I would buy the box of mixed greens because I didn't want to have to wash and spin my salads. So number one, gratitude. I'm grateful for these boxes of greens, organic greens. And I would eat like a box in 3 days. So I would eat about a third in a giant salad. I would chop a little onion in it and put some berries in it and maybe some beans. I'd make my little dressing, either tahini dressing with lemon juice or apple cider vinegar or something like that. Have a giant salad. Then some of you know I bought an Instant Pot. I was never interested in having one. I finally got one. I love it. Did you hear me say that?
Yeah. I'm really excited to eventually use it in the fall.
Right. And I've been cooking beans, just simple beans and grains because it's fast.
Right.
And then I would make enough for like 2 or 3 days because I didn't have a big refrigerator to store the additional, but I had enough room. And I brought jars with me to put them in. And I would have, again, very simple. I wasn't making sauces. I wasn't doing any complicated food. But the thing was, I would get up in the morning. I would have a bowl of berries, fresh berries. I might add some nuts, maybe not. Some chia seeds or flax seeds. And sometimes I would make a little sauce of maybe peanut butter with a little water or soy milk. Sometimes not. And just this bowl of berries and some nuts or seeds. And that was my breakfast. And then I would go to rehearsal from 10 till 1. And then I would come back and I was starving. And that's right. When I would have my big giant salad with the beans. And that was like it. Then I would go back to rehearsal till 6. And when I would come back, I wasn't really that hungry. So maybe I'd have a piece of fruit or something. What happened? I was finishing my dinner by 7 o'clock. Maybe 8 the latest. And I was in bed by 11 and I slept like a rock until 7 in the morning. And then I would get up and I would start again. I would prep my food for the day, have my little bowl, go to rehearsal, come back, do lunch, and then go back to rehearsal and then come back home and come back to the hotel, whatever, and clean up and do whatever I needed to do for the next day. And it's been a very exhausting pace, but I haven't been tired. I've been sleeping well. I feel like I'm full of energy. And this works. This food works.
And so you think the grains are what slows you down?
I think if I was doing some really intense exercise, I would need some more grain. But I think with what I'm doing, yeah, it makes you sleepy. And I would eat a lot of food at lunch, and where everybody else was craving their coffee when we got back, I was raring to go.
And this is a nutritarian diet that you've been on.
Yeah, it's Dr. Furman's G-Bombs Nutritarian.
Yeah, well, yeah. To those that don't know about G-Bombs, just quickly, what do they mean? What does G-bombs mean?
I think most people who listen on this show know, but it's greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds.
Right, G-bombs.
And the thing was, every time I was ready for a meal, I was super hungry. I loved the food because it was fresh, it was organic, it was clean, and I was hungry. And right. Then at night, I would sleep really well. And only recently I've been here, I don't think I've been here 3 weeks. No, 2.5 weeks, maybe. Maybe almost 3 weeks. I ate late and I didn't sleep well that night.
Right.
It makes a difference.
Yes, it does. It really does. When you eat before bed, it gives you a restless night.
I'm kind of committed to this, and it's not hard to do because I don't have a lot of time. I don't have any space. And now I have since moved to the actor's house, this big house that the theater provides for most of their performers. And there are other people in the house. The kitchen, it's a full kitchen, but it's full. It's full of everyone's stuff.
Right.
And there's not a lot of counter space and not a lot of room to make stuff. And plus other people are using it. So I don't want to be in there taking up space. I want to be quick. And this sort of eating accommodates that.
Wow.
I'm excited about it.
Very exciting. Very exciting. You're in the actor house now and you're all trying to find spots to keep your food. Do you keep some of it in your room? I haven't been there, but I'm imagining you have a room to yourself, right?
Right. So when I left, you were with me. I packed jars of dried beans, dried grains, and nuts, and dried mushrooms. And I did that because I really didn't know what was going to be here. And I wanted to have plenty of organic food. And I'm glad I did it because even though there's this pick and save grocery store, they don't have everything.
Let's talk a little bit more about the Instant Pot.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's not in your room, right?
I keep it in my room, but I don't cook in my room. We're not allowed to cook in our rooms here. When I was in the hotel, I cooked in my hotel room.
You cooked in the Instant Pot in your hotel room because that was like a little convenience kitchen in your hotel room. But now that you're in the actor's house, you have the Instant Pot and you keep it in your room, but then you bring it out and use it in the kitchen, clean it, and then bring it back. And you've talked to people on your program about the Instant Pot. Isn't there someone that wrote a cookbook?
Yeah, well, Jill Nussenauer wrote Vegan Under Pressure.
That's right.
It's not specifically for the Instant Pot. It's about pressure cooking.
But that's essentially what an Instant Pot is, right? It's a pressure cooker.
It is the most easiest pressure cooker to use. I am not nervous using it like the old fashioned kind. It's super easy. It's super fast. Of course, I haven't made any of the recipes. I thought I would take her book with me and follow some of the recipes. I haven't needed to do that.
Because you're just basically cooking beans and quinoa, right?
Right.
Yeah. Very simply. Do you flavor it with anything? Because I know that Furman doesn't like it when folks flavor stuff. So are you?
That's not true. I think you were talking to somebody who went to his retreat for healing.
Right.
And I think for that, he's really trying to get fast results and get you used to enjoying the cleanest, simplest of foods.
And getting your taste buds cleansed, correct?
Yeah.
It's also a major cleanse for your taste buds because they really wake up after a while, after you stop doing salt and oil. Wow.
Yes. But using herbs and spices are really nutritious.
Right.
So we want to add them to our food because they're so good for us, not just because they enhance the food, but they all bring different nutrients, all of them. And we're always learning about different spices or different herbs and what they do. They're all good.
Let me ask you, did you bring any nutritional yeast? I don't remember whether you did or not.
Well, you're the noosh boy.
I know. That's why
I brought a jar. I don't use it very often, but I have it. Yep.
Once in a while you use it.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes me feel better. I don't feel so guilty now. I didn't bring any nutritional yeast with me. I haven't bought any. I'm eating pretty clean as well. The other day, as a matter of fact, I bought a bag of mixed baby kale from Trader Joe's and a bag of walnuts and a bag of raisins. And I just opened up the bag like it was a potato chip bag. I sprinkled a few raisins and a few walnuts in there, mixed it up, and just ate it like I was eating out of a bag of chips. And I got that from you. And you know what? It really sustained me. I was starving, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to go to a restaurant or anything. So I said,
"That's fast food, Gary."
Yeah, that is fast food. It's really good.
That's good fast food.
And had I a little nutritional yeast, I would have sprinkled some in there. But I'm kind of glad I didn't. And it was great.
I'm talking about eating clean.
Yeah.
And I'm really committed to it. But it's right. My birthday today.
Yes.
And I wanted a little celebration and a little celebration with food. And last night we had the cast and the crew over at the Actors House for our opening night party, because the show opened on Thursday, April 21st. And today is my birthday, April 22nd. So I wanted some party food for me. And I had some criteria, vegan and organic. And for the most part, not highly processed. But I wasn't excluding salt, oil, and sugar, because this was going to be treat food. I bought Amy's fire roasted vegetable pizza. It has shiitake mushrooms and other vegetables on it. It's very clean, all organic, and it doesn't have cheese on it, any kind of vegan cheese. And this little grocery store, Pick and Save, has Miyoko's cashew mozzarella cheese, organic.
Wow. Now this is a real celebration. I'm so happy you're balancing this talk today about clean eating with this, because this is what I'm talking about now. Keep going. This is great.
And I grated the mozzarella cheese on the frozen pizza and I baked it. I had to bake it a lot longer than the directions said, because the crust was a little soggy and I wanted it to firm up, but delicious. Okay, this had oil and sugar and salt, but it was made with real food and organic food. And that was my treat. And then I bought some So Delicious organic vegan ice cream and had myself a little dessert. That was my birthday party.
Oh, man, that sounds awesome. You know, I bought these. I went to Staff of Life, our favorite grocery store, because, again, I was thinking of you and thought our aura is in that grocery store. Our chi, we've dumped our chi there, our chia seeds. So I went and I bought these little vegan pies. They're very tiny. They're like 3 or 4 bites. I was going to put a candle in one, light it, and sing to you on Zoom or something. And I just got a call. I just got a call from my sister-in-law where I'm staying. They're so wonderful to put me up for a couple of weeks. They have a dog, Roxy. And I did the stupid thing. I put the food that I brought, because, you know, I bring my own food, and I put it in a bag and I set it on the floor of the room. And the dog is a dog. And the dog comes in the house and it saw the pies and it just devoured them.
No, so, you didn't tell me this, Gary.
I just learned this 2 minutes before we went on the air. And I am so happy, Roxy. I love Roxy so much. And I'm so happy she ate the pies, because she really enjoyed them. And I was just going to do it for show and maybe have a couple of bites and then give the rest away. But Roxy really enjoyed them. And they were vegan and they were made with fresh fruit, no sugar. I checked all of that stuff out before I bought them. And they said, these are just made with fruit. And so the dog's not going to get sick. So that was really cool. Anyway, isn't that funny?
That is funny.
That's very funny. I thought it was hysterical. And what else? I mean, the dog's a dog. The dog sees food, it's going to eat it, right? I mean, that's really cool.
Okay, here's another gratitude story.
Okay.
And it's about food. I've been here in Wisconsin since we started rehearsal on April 4th. For me, I'm understudying 3 lead roles. I just watch. I just watch the rehearsals. And then when the rehearsals are over, I go back either to the hotel or now in the house. And I learn the 3 roles on my own, the choreography, the music, the blocking.
Yep.
So I'm working from sunrise to sunset and beyond. And we opened, like I said, yesterday. And I'm not talking about food.
This is good.
I'm not talking about food. I made a personal commitment to myself to keep my mouth shut. and not preach. Right. I just want to focus on this project and that's it. But somehow some people figured out that I was vegan.
And this is a great story. I love this story.
I was sitting in the dressing room yesterday for our opening matinee. And one of the younger women was giving everybody a little opening day gift of chocolates. And she gave me mine. And she said, "You're vegan, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Oh, great, because I got this for you."
And oh, my gosh.
It was a chocolate bar with three ingredients in it. Organic chocolate, organic coconut sugar, and organic cocoa butter.
My gosh. That is so sweet.
It was, well, this chocolate bar was not very sweet, but it was perfect.
No, but I mean the gesture from your fellow actor.
And then another one, the other young woman. So there were two young women in the cast, and then all of us are older. Uh-huh. And they play the daughters. And she brought everyone a bag of Chex Mix. You know, right. That old-fashioned Chex Mix.
Oh, yeah. Definitely used to eat a lot of that.
And Cheez-Its. And I don't know what they put in there. But she gave me mine and she said, "I made this vegan for you." So the other bags weren't. But mine, she made vegan.
That's so sweet.
And
That's
then I really... said to all of them, "I don't know. I hadn't been wearing my big V."
You're a big V. I have to get you a sweatshirt now with a big V on it. Oh, that's great.
Anyway, that was really, really lovely. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for being so nice to the big V.
Yeah, it's a really nice group. I'm very happy to be here.
Tell us, I've heard it, but I think our listeners would appreciate it. So when an actor goes on stage and there's food involved, tell us what if you do have to go in, what they're willing to do for you. They actually brought it up.
That's true. So one of the roles that I'm understudying, towards the end of the musical, she is drunk. And there's a wedding that's about to happen, and they have this prop of a wedding cake. And at some point, her face falls in it. And they put whipped cream on the top. The cake is just a cardboard cake that's painted. It's not made of cake.
But right, it's a top, prop. Right.
Since her face falls in it, they want her to get the cream on her face so everybody sees it and they laugh.
Right.
And I wasn't even thinking about it. But then I heard the assistant stage manager say, "They make this for us in the restaurant because this is a dinner theater and they serve food before the show." And she said, "But I'm looking for a non-dairy topping." And
just in case you have to go on.
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
That is so cool.
I was so touched, and she couldn't find one, but I could.
So now, you actually found something. What did you find?
Now, this is not a healthy food. This is a treat. It's not organic, but it's not that bad.
It is vegan, though.
It is vegan. It's Ready Whip. Ready Whip makes an almond, non-dairy whipped cream.
Wow, that's so cool. So does it look like, I mean, does it puff up and everything just like regular whipped cream?
It does, but you have to follow the instructions. And I don't know if they include the same instructions on their dairy whipped cream, because I haven't looked at one of them. But it's important to follow the instructions. So on this can of whipped cream, it says, when you take it out of the refrigerator, you run it for 30 seconds, the bottom third of the can. They're really specific. 30 seconds, warm water, not hot. 30 seconds, warm water, not hot, bottom third of the can. Then you shake it 8 to 10 times, and then you turn it upside down, and then you can kind of spritz it a little on the side, and it comes out perfect.
Wow, that's amazing. I thought Cool Whip was vegan, but I guess it's not, huh?
You know, years ago when Cool Whip was made, it did not have milk in it. Might have had a dairy derivative, but I think it was considered non-dairy. But now it has skim milk and cream in it. The last I looked, it was an odd mix of ingredients, but it definitely has dairy.
I also found out, yes, you're absolutely right. You know everything. But so Delicious makes a cocoa whip that's in a tub. And there's another brand out called True Whip that's vegan. So if that aerosol can thing doesn't work, you could have a backup of So Delicious Cocoa Whip or True Whip, which both are vegan.
Very good points. And I knew that there were vegan Cool Whip versions of vegan Cool Whip available. But
Right.
I'm in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin.
Right.
And I am full of gratitude that the local store has organic tofu and a variety of organic vegan frozen items, in addition to some organic produce. They have,
Right.
as I mentioned, Miyoko's cheese, they have chow cheese, and they have a variety of vegan burgers and things, but the variety is not big. I have not seen any of the vegan Cool Whips.
Okay. Well, this is good then. I'm glad you found something because I have a feeling you will go on, and so then if you go on for who was the character then that sticks their face in the whipped cream? Vivian?
Vivian Snoostad.
She's the pickle queen, right?
Yes, I'm Vivian Snoostad, pickle queen. You know, whether I'm in it or not, if you are anywhere near Fort Atkinson, and that means Madison, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, even Chicago, this show is really fun and I highly recommend it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You've been sending me little pictures of the set. It looks really fantastic. It looks like this company really knows what they're doing. They literally have their act together. And Fort Atkinson is probably very grateful for the Fireside Dinner Theater because it really has brought a lot of joy to that area. Not that's not to say that there wasn't joy in the area first, but I mean, what's not to love about being able to be bussed in and go into a show and dinner? It's sounds
You know,
like
I'm
it's
just having a crazy realization here. You're the first to hear this and experience this on It's All About Food. But this show is the church basement, ladies. A mighty fortress is our basement. And the set is a kitchen.
right. And it's all about food.
Everything is done in the kitchen. And it
Right.
is about food and the utensils and the pots and the pans. They're always cooking something. It's
Wow.
funny that that's the kind of show I find
You
myself in.
know what would be hysterical if the church basement ladies went vegan? Because how many church basement ladies productions are there? There's like 9 or 10, right?
There's eight right now, and they're working on the ninth.
The church basement ladies number 10 should be church basement ladies go vegan.
Yeah, I would say it'll probably be, if it ever happens, number 27.
27.
I
Okay.
don't think they're ready yet.
All right.
They're not ready yet. And the audience that they play to, I don't think they're ready yet either.
But one day they will be.
One day.
In the story that I wrote for you, in that fever dream that I wrote for your birthday, I mentioned a bunch of things, and I knew we could talk about them on the program. And one of them is I talk about gelatin. And I talk about how, gelatin is made from grinding the hooves of cows and animals and bones and things like that. I can't find that shocking enough. That all of these years, actually, my eyes were opened to it, that what we were doing was when we made jello and things with gelatin, that we were actually using ground hooves. Can you comment on that a little bit and tell me why we do such a thing? I mean, I know killing animals is enough, but then why?
I think it has to do with, and I don't know, but people that use animals for food, especially long ago, they would say they would use everything but the squeal. They'll use as many parts of the animal as they can. We use part of the animals to make soaps. And we don't eat all of the animal, but some of that gelatinous stuff makes jello, gelatinous jello.
I would like to share an experience I had at the grocery store, another experience I had at Staff of Life. I was looking for the first time in my life, I think I bought some moisturizing lip balm. And there's thousands and thousands and thousands of lip balms in this one area. Well, not thousands, I would say hundreds. And I only found one that didn't have beeswax in it. Because again, From my going vegan, I'm aware now that a lot of things are made with beeswax, and that's not vegan. Honey isn't vegan. So it's very difficult to find a lip balm that is vegan.
Yeah, the bee products, that's kind of a, I don't want to say a gray area, but there are plenty of people that say they're vegan and they do consume honey and use beeswax. And I'm not judging, you know, if they feel comfortable doing that, that's fine. I don't think that's really vegan, but there's so much worse out there that we need to focus on that
Right.
I don't need to concentrate on that too much. But as you know, I'm a big user, and I mean user, of Soothing Touch lip balms. It says right on the label, I'm vegan. It's made with mostly organic ingredients, which is important because you're putting it on your lips and you're eating it
Right.
intentionally or not. It goes in your body.
So what is your brand called again?
Soothing Touch.
Okay, and my brand is called Lux Lips. Moisturizing lip balm. Organic, vegan, non-GMO. No beeswax, no petroleum, nut-free, soy-free, and gluten-free. I guess gluten-free would be very important, especially for someone who can't have gluten.
Exactly. Yeah.
The ingredients in Lux Lips: organic avocado oil, organic cocoa butter, organic sunflower oil, organic castor oil, organic evening primrose oil, organic aloe leaf extract, organic carnauba wax, candelia wax, and vitamin E. Oh, this has vitamin E. That's not good, is it?
Oh, that's fine.
What's the deal about vitamin E in your oils, though? Is that okay, or is that not?
Well, it's not unusual to put it in there. I think it helps preserve it to some extent. I know it has a function like that, but Dr. Furman recommends not having vitamin E as a supplement and not having it in your multivitamin, that we should
Gotcha.
get our vitamin C from food. And there have been some studies that show that if you consume it in a vitamin, especially too much, it can cause problems.
Yes, and speaking of problems and Dr. Furman, the discussion, and we're just jumping around here because it's your birthday and we want to touch on a lot of different topics. The discussion with myself and a friend of mine who I love dearly, who lives out here in California, whose name shall not be mentioned because I don't want to embarrass the person. I'm trying to get this person to read Dr. Furman's book, a book that we sent them about reversing type 2 diabetes. The book we sent him was The End of Diabetes. And so I'm watching this steady decline in my friend. It's right out of the textbook cases of diabetes. And the thing that this person is losing now is their mobility. They're finding it more and more difficult to walk as a result of the type 2 diabetes. And this is very distressing. And when you see someone like that, and I know you've talked to a lot of people who have listened to you know, some people have even gone to Dr. Furman's retreat and reversed all of their problems, or in the process of reversing all of their problems, medical problems. But when you see someone who stubbornly will not even give it a shot, and they continue to decline in health, and in front of you, they're continuing to eat the foods that are causing them and their health to decline. How do you deal with that? Because it's really distressing and it's sad and depressing. But there are so many people out there who just flat out say, I don't eat vegetables. I haven't eaten a vegetable since I was a kid. I might eat occasionally, I might eat corn or something. And
I
how do you
don't know what's going on in anyone's head other than my own. And do I even know what's going on in my own head sometimes?
Right.
But really, I only understand my way of thinking. I have no idea what motivates anyone else.
But when
And
you,
yeah,
yeah.
it's, I think of the expression, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You say, I can save your life. I can free you of pain. It won't cost you a lot of money. You may even save money. It's not hard, but it requires a shift.
It does.
And for some people, it just sounds like something that's impossible. It is so
Yeah.
pad.
Or they don't believe you, or they don't.
Or they don't believe you.
And then they trust the person who's wearing the white lab coat and them telling them, if you're going to eat a hamburger, don't eat it with the bread, but you could have a little cheese with it or whatever. And you're thinking, no, that's wrong.
But nowadays in 2022, there are so many people in white lab coats with medical degrees that are promoting a plant-based diet.
Yes, that's the good thing.
You can find them.
That's the good thing.
And it's funny, remember what Ken told us when he was starting on this journey?
Yeah.
Ken is our friend who lost a ton of weight and cured himself of diverticulitis and diabetes and fibromyalgia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he's pain-free or pretty close right now after just December, January, doing this diet. His doctor told him, this is really great. This diet will help you. I can't do it myself.
Right.
How nuts is that?
Yeah, exactly. That is really nuts.
You know, and I brought up the way that I'm eating right now during this theater run, because obviously there are plenty of people in my situation that are not eating the same way and are not eating as healthfully as I think they can. But I'm doing it and it's not hard.
But it's hard for someone who refuses to even see that it isn't hard.
Yeah.
But it's just when you watch it happening right in front of you and you really do care for the person. Like you say, you can't preach. You can't preach because that's just going to turn them off even more. And look at the result that you had with your company of actors who you weren't preaching to. And here they were acknowledging that they know that you have this lifestyle and they respect that. And they bought you a chocolate bar that was vegan. And they gave you some Chex Mix that was vegan.
It's an amazing chocolate bar. Just three ingredients. It's really good.
Yeah, you share the name of it if you can remember it, because I want to go out and find it.
I haven't finished it, and I'm trying to see if I have it with me. I don't think so.
But
I'll
when you do, let
it.
Me know. Yeah, let me know, because I'm really interested in this chocolate bar. Okay, so all things in Wisconsin are going well thus far. What do you miss most about not being in your own place?
Oh, sure. We don't have bathtubs in this house that I'm sitting in, staying in.
Right. And you have to share a bathroom, right?
We share bathrooms, yeah, but they have showers, not bathtubs. And I'm a bath person. I even brought my bath ball, which is a filter, a water filter for the bathtub. And I used it in the hotel, but there's no more bathtub for Karen, so I'm missing that. Of course, I'm missing my kitchen.
Sure.
And that our kitchen is set up the way we like it.
It does take some getting used to be in a different place and not have all of your things at your fingertips. It really is. It's disorienting.
And in some ways, I am grateful for this opportunity of not having a lot of food choices so that I don't have temptation. I have the food that I have. I make it. I eat it. It's satisfying. It makes me feel good. And I am not tempted to go out to some local place for something that won't treat me well.
And you're using a lot of chia seeds on this trip. Tell us about what chia seeds do for you and how come we all need to go out and get them.
I've been using chia seeds, and I'm going to go either to flax seeds and chia seeds very soon because I'm running out. But I brought chia seeds that I ground back in New York and took with me. And I even brought a spice grinder with me to grind more seeds when I get them. I could buy flax meal or chia seed meal in the store. And I just may, I don't know. Normally I don't. I prefer to grind it myself and then store it. But these seeds, we're supposed to consume about 2 tablespoons of ground flaxseed or chia seed a day to get the omega-3 fatty acids that we need in our bodies. And people talk about eating salmon to get omega-3s, and then our body creates DHA and EPA. These are abbreviations for big long words that I don't want to pronounce. And we need these things in our body to nourish our hearts and our brains, prevent inflammation. They do all kinds of things. Flaxseed even have been shown to reduce risk of breast cancer and breast cancer recurrence. These are really excellent foods. Yeah, I've been trying to get 2 tablespoons a day. I either sprinkle it in my morning berry bowl or on my salad. It's very easy, but you just need it.
And chia seeds do basically the same thing, correct?
Yeah, chia seeds and flax seeds are pretty similar.
I know a lot of folks like putting them in their smoothies too, if they don't like the taste of them on, like, sprinkled on their cereal or what have you. They like to put them in smoothies because they know they're going to work for them and they don't really have to taste them. But I find that they don't really have any taste.
They don't really have much taste, but if you put them in your smoothie, they make the smoothie thicker.
Yeah.
And that could be fun. So some people think that flax oil is good, but flax seeds, ground flax seeds, are so much better, so superior. I would not use flax oil. I would only use flaxseed. The flaxseed comes with fiber and it has the lignans in it that have been shown to have tremendous breast cancer reducing risk.
Wow. Go out and eat your vegetables, folks. There's all of the things you need in them. It sounds cliche. We can't say it enough on this program. Eat your vegetables.
Yeah.
They're going to go to work immediately and then they'll go away. You can use it for compost afterward. Eat your vegetables, folks. They go to work right away. And then when they come out, you can use it for compost. There you go.
So we don't have much more time, just a few more minutes, but it's really been a trip here. It's been a trip, but just being immersed in a culture, and it's so different from New York. And here I am in the United States of America, and you don't have to travel very far to be in a place that's really different culturally. And I'm just enjoying it. And I'm happy to be able to find the foods that I need. It's just been a very all around a lovely experience. But if I do want to go out to a nice restaurant somewhere, I'm either going to drive to Chicago or maybe try Madison or Milwaukee. I don't think there's anything in the vicinity here that will work.
Well, hopefully if you do, we can talk about it on It's All About Food and tell us the experience of going out to a fancy restaurant in the Midwest. I know that when we were in Chicago, so I drove you as far as Chicago in the car, and then I flew back, and you drove the rest of the way to Wisconsin, because we haven't really talked about that on this program yet, how you got there.
No, we haven't.
So you're sitting in your car doing this show right now, and I'm sitting in a rent-a-car here in California, but the reason you have the car from home is because we drove, and we visited some friends in Chicago. Now, I know you talked to Robert on It's All About Food a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Did you talk about the restaurant we went to in Chicago?
We talked about it briefly, Fancy Plants.
Fancy Plants. If you're in Chicago, I highly recommend it. It's great.
Yeah, it was really good. We didn't mention was we stayed at
the Palmer House.
The Palmer House. And one thing that was fun was it's a beautiful old hotel. One of the oldest, right, in Chicago, or the...
Yeah, the oldest, I think. The oldest hotel. And they even were the first to have electric light in the hotel.
Oh.
So that's how far back it was. It was really right out of the Age of Innocence, or this new program that's on now that everyone's talking about, the Gilded Age. It's right out of the Gilded Age. If you really want a dose of the Gilded Age, go to the Palmer House. But you were going to mention the breakfast we had the morning we said goodbye to each other.
Yeah. So I wanted to eat in the dining room. And at first, their menu didn't look very friendly, vegan friendly. Right. For example, they had oatmeal, but the oatmeal was cooked with dairy. And that just blows my mind. Nobody is supposed to cook oatmeal with dairy. You add your milk to the oatmeal later. But okay, right. They had dairy in theirs. But they had what they called carrot cake soaked oats, and I'm going to be making this at some point, but it's a version of soaked oats, and they use soy milk to soak the oats, overnight oats, but it had grated carrots and nutmeg in it.
Fantastic.
And I'm sure it had a little sweetener in it, like sugar.
It had raisins in it.
But when I make it, it's not, but the nutmeg, the carrots, the raisins. It was total yum.
It was great. And it was like one of the best hotel breakfasts I've had in a long time.
Yep.
And I walked out of there feeling really good. And it was a wonderful experience. And we both said this would be our farewell meal together. And it was really wonderful. I highly recommend the Palmer House and the soaked oats, the carrot cake soaked oats.
Yeah, really it was good. Really a surprise. And I loved the teapots. You know, I'm all about loose tea and serving in tea presses. And they served our tea in these really nice tea presses.
So it was a wonderful moment.
All in all, time well spent. And
yes.
Gary, this was time well spent just now. I really enjoyed talking with you. We're at the end of the hour.
Yes, and Karen. Happy birthday. Happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day.
Woo! Sending you love and best wishes on this wonderful day.
Thank you for your story. That was really something else. Thank you. You're such a good writer.
Yes, you're such a good human being. It's a pleasure to be loved by you. Thank you.
And thank you. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Have a delicious week.
Have a delicious week.
There you go. Real good. Bye-bye.
Bye.